We pray. Heavenly Father, you who have brought us through another year and promised to bless us as we step into a brand new year, dear Lord, may our hearts be filled with thanksgiving and praise, for you are good and gracious, wise and loving. May your will always be accomplished in all of our days until that day when we will rejoice to be with you before your throne of grace. In our Savior's name we pray. Amen. In our gospel lesson this morning, Mary and Joseph, we find taking a trip up to Jerusalem. They leave Bethlehem and stop over in Jerusalem before they go up into Galilee. Because God had commanded in the Old Testament that when parents have a new baby, they must come to the temple and offer a sacrifice of cleansing. You see, the mother is ceremonially unclean. And at a prescribed time, about a month after the birth, they are to come to offer a sacrifice to cleanse the mother. But in this case, there's also another sacrifice. You see, because God required that every firstborn male from each home must be redeemed, bought back from God. God claimed a special ownership on each firstborn male. And so here they were coming to buy back from the Lord their own child so that they could take him home to Galilee. Remarkable, though. Here these small-town people coming to the big city of Jerusalem, to the temple itself. Oh, they've probably have made many trips to Jerusalem, yet each time it's probably impressive, but oh, there's something special about this trip to Jerusalem. For here in their arms, they're carrying the Christ child. That changes everything. Well, Luke never really fills in any of the details. I like to imagine that Mary and Joseph saw the significance of this. Jesus coming to his temple. This is the great Lord Almighty who dwells in the most holy room of the temple, who fills it with his glory and is the glory of all Israel. And now this God, our God, the one true God, we are now carrying in our arms through the front door of the temple. I would imagine that would really blow the mind of Mary and Joseph. Do you get what's happening here? The Messiah has come. The long-awaited Messiah, the sacrificial Lamb of God, has taken on human flesh and is presenting himself in the very temple of God. His own temple. But here now is the sacrifice that has been prophesied. I tend to think Mary and Joseph probably took all that trip trying to wrap their minds around this. And yet maybe they also had a conversation. But will we be the only ones who recognize what's happening here? This is so monumental, earth-shaking, and are you and me the only ones who are going to rejoice that the Messiah has come to his temple? Maybe it felt to them a little like Bethlehem, huh? Oh, everybody's so busy, going in a million different directions, and they don't see who's lying in the manger there. And now it'll be the same in Jerusalem. We come to Jerusalem, and everybody will be busy, oh, the commotion, and nobody will recognize who has come to the temple this day. Kind of like our Christmas. Everyone's so frazzled, they have to get the best gift. But they take no time to recognize the gift given to us from God. Well, if Mary and Joseph were really all kind of bothered by this monumental visit, not taking any notice, God had already foreseen this. He had already ordained. Mary and Joseph are going to be thrilled when they get to the temple because God has called Simeon and Anna to give this Christ child a royal welcome. God has already ordained and put into motion that the Savior enters his temple to the songs of praise. Now, we really don't know too much about Simeon. We have our depiction of him in our triptych, our panel here. We don't know whether he was a priest. Could have been, or not. He could have been a wealthy man, a noble man, a man of great standing in the community. Or he could have been a commoner. We don't really know. All we know is what Luke says, and so we imply by that that he's rather elderly, perhaps even very close to death. Because here the Holy Spirit comes and says, no, you are going to see the Christ child with your own eyes before you die. So that implies that death is imminent for him. Luke does tell us that he's a righteous man, a devout man, waiting eagerly for the Messiah to come. Describes him as waiting for the consolation of Israel. What does that mean? Consolation means to console, to comfort, to ease someone's pain. And here he's the consolation or comfort of all of Israel who are wounded and burdened and crushed under the load of their sins and other people's sins and the sins of this world and all the rotten, miserable things that sin brings into our world. There is a great comforter, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ. And here Simeon is eagerly waiting for this one to arrive. With his aged eyes, he had probably seen a lot of pain and misery and sinning. So that his heart's delight is to see this comfort that God had promised him. And everything in his life conformed to that, I would imagine. He had such a devout faith that would now shape how he lived out every single day up to this day. But God gives him that special promise, huh? You will see this Messiah finally. Can you imagine what an honor that is for a devout Jew? Oh, our ancestors have been waiting for thousands and thousands of years, and now God says, I'm going to be able to see the Messiah myself? Wow. And so Mary and Joseph come into the temple, and God calls Simeon to the temple and says, here, this one. And he takes the child in his hands, and what does God move him to say? Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. He looks into the very eyes of God. He's holding God in his hands. And he says, you have kept your promise. He kept his promise to Simeon that he would see him with his own eyes. But in keeping that promise, he has kept his promise to everyone that the Messiah would come. And that's the good news that has come out from Israel. A Savior has been born to you, to the Gentiles and Jews alike. To all the world. And what a marvelous song to sing and to trumpet to declare this day and every day. A Savior has been born. That's for the hillbillies in the mountains. It's for the sophisticated fat cats in the big city. And everyone in between. That's a news that doesn't change from year to year. And doesn't grow weaker or dimmer from year to year. To us, a Savior has been born because this is of God who does not change. Isaiah testifies of how God fulfills his promises, ever fulfilling them and never changing from them. Isaiah writes, Who foretold this long ago? Who declared it from the distant past? Was it not I, the Lord? And there is no God apart from me, a righteous God and a Savior. There is none but me. Turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. How blessed we are that God's gospel light has shone into our hearts and lives, so we are not worshiping trolls and statues and for all the false gods of marble and stone and money and power, they cannot save. There is only one God, the God of Israel, the God who wrapped himself in human flesh and allowed Mary and Joseph to present him to the Lord God Almighty, that God who Simeon cradled in his arms. And oh, that is our God. And we rejoice to hear his name. I suspect that had Simeon been a younger man, he would have delighted to see Jesus grow up in grace and favor with man and with God and grow stronger and stronger. And he would have eagerly been with Jesus as he stepped out into his earthly ministry. Left the temple and followed him wherever he went. But Simeon wasn't a young man. He was to depart this world. He was looking for that day when God would cradle him in his arms and present him in the temple in heaven before the Lord God Almighty. But what about you and me? In the upcoming year, are we going to be like Simeon in the sense that we are going to depart this world, but we depart it with peace? Our Savior has been born. Salvation has been won. In him we have life everlasting. Our sins are forgiven. To depart this world in peace? Perhaps. Or perhaps this new year will be much more like Simeon's earlier life, where he was so eagerly waiting for the consolation of Israel and his whole life wrapped around that. It's important for us not to be like everyone else in Jerusalem that was oblivious to what was happening in those days and the presence of God right near them. But rather for us to use 2018 to draw ever closer to our Savior. As we travel through the year, not to travel on the fringe of Christianity with the mass just slowly following Jesus and gazing from a distance. No, break through the crowd. Conquer every obstacle that puts distance between you and this Savior. And come up close in 2018 and make it your soul journey to hear every word, to see every action he does, to draw ever closer and stronger in him. In 2018, to walk right next to Jesus and through the eyes and ears of faith as though we're there. And what would you have me learn and grow as I watch you heal the leper and heal the paralytic and the demon-possessed man? And for us to learn, and what would you have me know? What blessing do you have for me as you teach me about the Pharisee and the tax collector, Jesus? As you declare wonderful things that you are the Lord of the Sabbath, what do you mean, Jesus? As we move through this year, let's sit at the table with Jesus and take time to see his sweat and his determination and his sheer exhaustion as he does everything that his Father wants him to do. Why in the world would his family think he's lost his mind? Why would the teachers of the law accuse him of being demon-possessed? Let's travel with Jesus and find out and what it means for you and me. Let's climb up the steep mountain and once again experience that moment when Jesus doesn't veil his divinity with human flesh, but lets himself be aglow in all of his godly glory that he shined with in the Holy of Holies on that Mount of Transfiguration. And once again, we journey and stand beneath his cross and take in the grace of God, how wide and high and deep that he would do this for me. And sit in eager anticipation for another Easter to come, where we can rejoice that our Savior truly lives. It never grows old. And with each time, he draws us ever deeper into himself. What better way to spend 2018? Is anything more important than traveling with our Lord? Be a Simeon and Anna this year. Because God has ordained that the Savior enters his temple to the songs of praise. When he first came, he was just Simeon and Anna amongst all those people. Is that remarkable on Palm Sunday? How God had ordained as Jesus entered Jerusalem that there would be such a singing choir of children and adults. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Well, God has ordained praise for his Son in 2018 too. That as the Savior enters his house of worship, that there are songs of praise to him. More the question will be, will we be in the choir? Will our hearts and our voices be filled with songs of praise? Will our lives be enthralled like Simeon to eagerly anticipate our Lord's return? He's coming for us. And eagerly await that day and let everything in this world conform to that joy and delight. Will we be like Simeon and Anna in 2018, and count it a privilege to hold our Savior in our hands through faith, to gaze upon his beauty through the eyes of faith, to listen to his word and bury them deeply in our heart of hearts. Oh, what blessings he has in store for us. Not only physical blessings, but spiritual through his life-giving word. Mary and Joseph travel to Jerusalem, to the temple, not really knowing what to expect. But they were carrying the Christ child in their arms, and so every step had to be filled with his grace. Well, we step into 2018. We're not quite sure what to expect, huh? And only this year, Jesus is carrying us in his arms. And every step will be filled with his grace and goodness. What do we have to fear? Our Lord is by our side. And so we travel from year to year in God's grace as he showers it upon us, as he carries us close to his heart. And so we can truly say from a divine perspective, have a blessed new year in your Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please rise. We pray. Heavenly Father, our lives are in the palm of your hands. What a sweet place to be. Those hands that were sacrificed to pay for our sins, that have risen in glory and now cup us and carry us from day to day. Oh, dear Lord, may this new year be sanctified to you. May we spend our lives in glory to your name until that glorious day when you take us to be with you in heaven. Ah, that we might travel in the peace purchased with our Savior. In Christ we pray. Amen.